CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Brazil. Marian Estejo Grady, the America's editor and columnist, the Wall Street Journal editorial board, writing about Mr. Bolsonaro and his re-election underway. The campaign begins later in the year. The vote is in the fall. But I mention Easter weekend, Good Friday. Mr. Bolsonaro, in a black leather jacket, led a motorcade of many bicycles, many motored bikes, from Sao Paulo, the large city, to a neighboring city in beautiful weather, great big grin on his face, enjoying all the attention of his base, I'm told, in Sao Paulo, and especially those on motorcycles. Mary, the governance of Bolsonaro has been an exciting story these last 4 years, now running for re-election. But his campaign tactics are brilliant. Campaign school. Was he like this in 2018 when he was first elected with a big grin on his face? Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. First of all, let me point out that Barack Obama was just about the master of what we call the permanent campaign. So if the right is starting to use the permanent campaign like the left has for many years, that shouldn't surprise anybody. Bolsonaro, the last time he ran, let's not forget that he was stabbed in a public event some months before the election. That may have helped him. It certainly debilitated his ability to get out and campaign, but it may have, you know, raised a kind of sympathy vote for him. This time around, he's trying not to take any chances. He's trying to gin up a lot of enthusiasm from the base, and that's sort of what the motorcade on Good Friday was all about.
You report the 11th largest economy in the world, the second largest population in the new world, a democracy, and at the same time, some unknowns. One of the unknowns is the relationship with the Biden administration. What do we know, Mary?
Well, you know, what we know is that Joe Biden has not spoken to hire Bolsonaro in the 16 months that President Biden has been in office. In other words, he's never reached out, he's never had a phone call with him. And this is pretty unusual. As you note, it's a large, important democracy in our hemisphere. I would add on to that the fact that many other countries in the hemisphere are openly hostile toward the United States and to market economics. I mean, you have a left-wing, very militant left-wing president now in Chile. In Peru, Argentina has had an anti-American bias for many years. You know, of course, you have Venezuela, you have Bolivia, you have Nicaragua, you have Honduras, which the Biden administration is trying to be friendly with. That's a new government. But, you know, you don't have that many governments in the region that are have a positive view of the United States and that are very much examples of strong institutions, strong independent institutions like a democracy is supposed to have, and, you know, more or less efforts toward a market economy. Brazil is still too much state intervention in the economy, in my opinion, but it's more or less on sides with us. So this would seem like a natural ally in an institutional sense to the United States. And yet, as I say, President Biden has not either made a phone call to President Bolsonaro, nor has he accepted Bolsonaro's efforts to contact him.
President Bolsonaro visited Moscow prior to the invasion of Ukraine. Is that a problem for the White House, to your opinion?
Well, I think it shows that, you know, these countries, and I would include India and South Africa, you know, large economies around the world, they don't want to take sides here if they're not sure of their alliances. So, again, I think that the fact that the U.S. was not able to dissuade Bolsonaro from going to Russia is not something you can ignore, because of course, it's counterfactual. We don't know what would have happened if the Biden administration had tried to bring Brazil in as an ally over the last 15 months. But if you're Bolsonaro and you're thinking about, you know, global relationships for the country, if you don't have any trust with the U.S. president, you're not going to take a firm stance against his, you know, sworn enemy, which at this point is Vladimir Putin.
Then we come to reasons to attend to Bolsonaro is the opponent, Lula da Silva, previously a president of Brazil, a man identified with corruption. The car wash scandal, I'm told, stained many politicians across the region, but no more major figure than Lula da Silva, a man of the left who identifies with the strong authoritarianism that we can find in other anti-American governments in Latin America. You don't get the perfect choice, Mary. You have to choose. Is the Biden administration choosing?
Oh, yeah, I think most certainly. I mean, they're not saying this publicly because they wouldn't take a side, but, you know, Lula da Silva is, as you say, a man of the left. He's a close ally of the Castro government. And by the way, and I realize that Fidel Castro is dead and Raul Castro is on his last legs, but he's a close ally of the Cuban model under the Cuban Revolution, which is totalitarian, not just authoritarian. He's also, his political party would also be allied with what we would consider in this country, sort of woke agenda. And so you have progressives in the Biden administration who much prefer the narrative that comes out of the Lula administration than Bolsonaro, who is a social conservative, anti-abortion, you know, all the things that the progressives in this country really detest. And as you point out, I mean, there's a big problem. There's a big problem there, which is Lula was incredibly corrupt, and so was his Workers' Party government. And it wasn't just the car wash scandal, which, of course, for listeners who aren't familiar with that, that ended up being this huge corruption scandal that involved large Brazilian contractors like Odebrecht and another company called OAS and the Brazilian state-owned oil company Petrobras. So all of those institutions were caught up in this incredible corruption. And Lula actually went to jail for it. He was later, a court ruled that the conviction should be overturned, and that's why he's out of jail. But I don't think anybody diminishes his role and the Workers' Party role, his Workers' Party role in the enormous amount of corruption that, by the way, wasn't just in Brazil, but spread throughout the region.
To my understanding, Bolsonaro's position in the world, not just in the United States, is that of a conservative identified with, and I go down the list, denialism about the virus, denialism about the vaccine, denialism about the damage in the Amazon, denialism about how markets work. In other words, he believes in prosperity and bottom line, not in redistribution. All those things are held against him, but that's consistent, Mary, with being a social and fiscal conservative in the 21st century. Is that what the Biden administration believes of Bolsonaro? And does that explain why there's no phone call?
Well, let me correct you on one point. I mean, Bolsonaro is not a free market liberal in the classical sense, you know, an economic liberal. I would describe him more as a corporatist, or at least a good part of his backing and the reason why he's in the presidency is that he is he believes that the state has a big role in the economy. And it's one reason why, since his inauguration, he has lost many people who voted for him in the hopes that he was going to start to move Brazil toward more of a free market economy. He lost a very important privatization czar because this guy realized that he was not going to carry through with important privatizations, which Brazil really needs to do. On the social conservative aspect, I agree with you that, you know, he's a social conservative, and that's anathema to a lot of people in the White House. I mean, he also has a problem because he's not a very he can offend a lot of people with his speech. I mean, not dissimilar to Donald Trump. And I think that troubles a lot of classical liberals who believe in limited government, and they don't want a president that behaves like that. Having said all that, I think what's fundamentally the problem for the White House is that his view on most social issues, and I would say abortion is like a really big one, because gay rights are established in Brazil, and no matter what he says with his mouth, that hasn't changed during his presidency. But he is, and his backers do want to protect life, and that's a big problem for many progressives. So it's not everything he does. I mean, it's just the key issues that are important for progressives in this country are things that he stands up against, and they don't like that. They're very single-minded in some of these issues, including abortion, and that makes him a problem. I mean, he's also in favor of religion and free speech and so forth. And, you know, these are all issues that the left doesn't like. They want him to put a sock in it. and he has not gone along with it. So that makes him a problem.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial board. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.